I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
And welcome to the sixth episode of Puckle's Battlecast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my spectacular co-hosts,
Shamu
and Raise.
I should have called you Battle Ready co-host. That would have been great. So, welcome to Battlecast, the show where we once a month just go into a meta and we have some fun. And obviously, I think the most timely meta to talk about right now is VGC. Just because we've had Worlds recently, we've had a couple of regionals. Like, they're just pumping out regionals right now. And I'm incredibly surprised. Just because a lot of people are going to need to get, they're going to get their championship points before like the meta even flips over. So, I mean, I guess more power to them if they do that. They did lower the championship point requirement for Worlds this year though, which is really nice. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. It does make it much more doable to get your 400 points to go to Worlds, and you don't have to snowball. You can do it almost locally. So good for them.
You actually can. Just MSSs and PCs.
Yeah, it's really nice. And then one regional. Even if you like top cut one regional, you're doing pretty well. So,
most definitely.
Yeah, I think that's like 100 points if you top cut. I think like almost worst
something
case
around there.
Yeah, yep. It's absurd. But let's talk about Worlds. Worlds happened. I meant to do a show and then I just didn't. So, I want to quickly go over what happened at Worlds. First of all, this was one of the I believe most diverse Worlds we've had in terms of like top cut in quite a while, possibly ever. I know the top two teams were, this was the first time that the top two teams consisted of six different Pokemon. There were 12 Pokemon on the front top stage, not anything like 11, no overlap whatsoever. It's amazing. I'm such a fan. And this is definitely like one of the most diverse like rotating metas that has ever existed. And so let's jump into it. So Japan won. It was Ryota Otsubu or Otsubo?
Ryota.
Ryota. Okay, I'm gonna mess this up. I'm really bad at this.
The only reason I know that is because I was there chanting his name.
Well, he brought, I think, probably the coolest team too. So, like, good for him, honestly, because he brought Krookodile, Whimsicott, which ended up being a really key player in those last matches, and Tapu Fini, Alolan Marowak, which is definitely seeing a resurgence now in the meta, Celesteela, and Tapu Koko. Which is, it's not, I mean, it's cool because Krookodile, I'm really happy to see win a Worlds just because it's Intimidate. It's like the one Intimidate mon that nobody ever brought. So I'm really happy with it. Gyarados, I think, is a close second to that, though. But you typically see Arcanine and maybe Salamence. Well, Salamence, I guess, hasn't seen a lot of play this season either. So
it has seen a rise with paired with Metagross.
I can believe that. That would make sense with Metagross. A nice pairing. Then we can also go into Whimsicott, which I think is really cool because he was using Nature Power very well with the mixture of like Tapu Koko, Tapu Fini, and just the fact that Tapus in general are just very prominent. So there's always some kind of terrain. Nature Power, I believe, gets to take advantage of Prankster as well.
Yeah, correct. It's technically a status move.
It's technically a status move, and it's fantastic. So I'm such a fan of that Whimsicott play that's never going to see play again. And
yeah, well, also, it was fun. This happened actually in the match where Ryota went for a Z-Nature Moonblast because he had the Fiend Terrain up. And,
and he goes into Mandibuzz, right?
He went into Mandibuzz.
Sam went into Mandibuzz because Prankster, because of the new mechanic of Dark types not being affected by Prankster. There were just a lot of new mechanics this gen. And just keeping track of all of them, I think, in general, is really difficult. I've seen a lot of people try to priority in psychic terrain, even like the top tier players, you know. And it's
there was a lot of information to get used to.
Yeah, and they're still getting used to it. So Tapu Fini is pretty standard Tapu Fini in my opinion. Running Ice Beam though, like guarantee the Oko on Chomp probably. And any Salamence, I guess. Alolan Marowak, pretty standard except for Brick Break.
Yep.
I really like the Brick Break, though, because Alolan Ninetales was seeing some use. Like, you did see an uptick in Alolan Ninetales before Worlds, and I thought that's a really good response.
It was a very excellent response, yes.
Celesteela had Heavy Slam, Flamethrower, Leech Seed, very typical Celesteela. And Tapu Koko, very typical Tapu Koko, Life Orb, Thunderbolt, Dazzling Gleam, Discharge. Nothing like super surprising, except the Whimsicott was a cool play.
And the fact that he chose to use Crocodile, I could see his team being weak to Marowak and Crocodile. I'm not Marowak.
Arcanine? Muk. Oh, Muk. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And Crocodile is actually one of the most perfect counters to it.
Yeah, it is. I would agree with that. So in the runner-up was Sam Pedelis from Australia. That he had a cool team as well. Like, both these teams were very interesting. Like, they weren't super off-meta, but they were just, like, off-meta enough that I think they saw some success. Like we were talking about before the show, they're just not super stable. And so you see Alolan Ninetales, and I've seen this Alolan Ninetales a ton, actually, with the Icy Wind. I've seen that a lot since this play. We're going to talk a little bit more about copycats later on in the show, but... I've seen that a lot recently. Aurora Veil, Disable, Roar. I think Icy Wind is a great play, though, because Tapu Koko is so prevalent. It's not gonna target down the Ninetales, typically. And I don't know. It's great. It's great. These two teams played wonderfully off each other.
They did, actually.
Then you have the Arcanine, pretty standard, minus the Bulldoze. But I guess if you want a ground-type move to hit for that Arcanine v. Arcanine matchup, which happens way too often...
it's good speed control because
he's got like crazy speed control on his team with Bulldoze and Icy Wind
and also Tailwind
with Tailwind as well. yeah
he definitely is the way the team is set up. It looks like control the speed, send out Zerk, start sweeping.
Garchomp is the Swords Dance Garchomp with Ground EMZ. That one I think is pretty typical. Yeah, Mandibuzz is what I've learned to be typical Mandibuzz. Psychic Seed, is that not typical Mandibuzz? Please correct me if I'm wrong.
It is with Psychic Seed and or Misty Seed. The Taunt is usually the move that gets bumped around.
It gets swapped around? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know it's typically Foul Play, Tailwind, Roost for sure. And, correct. I can see Taunt getting swapped around for a few things.
But that is basically standard.
Mm-hmm. Tapu Lele looks pretty standard as well, with Moonblast, Psyshock. Calm Mind, I guess, is a little bit different, because that's typically what I see, like, Fini run, but...
Also Psyshock.
Psyshock, I guess, yeah, okay, I'll give that to
you.
Yeah,
most people run the Psychic for
you get an extra, like,
raw power.
Yeah, you get an extra base 10, I think.
And also, a lot of the mons that you try to hit with it are kind of defensive.
Yeah, that's true. It's a very physical meta. It's a very physical meta. And so Protect, obviously, because it's VGC. Circuitry, I just thought was cool because it's pretty standard circuitry.
It is.
For like what you would expect. Thunderbolt, Dazzling Gleam, Tail Glow, and Protect. It's like Tapu Koko, but with a higher special attack stat. And with that speed control, you can get the speed on the circuitry to let it sweep, because that's all circuitry needs is a little bit of speed. Just a little bit.
Definitely. And his circuitry, I ended up getting, surprisingly... through a translation and jumping through hoops, we ended up getting his evs and stuff for the team.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, his circuitry was actually kind of bulky.
It probably was, because he can get away with a lot if you were trying to actually like speed creep in that with if you assume like Tailwind and Icy Wind and stuff like that. You could probably sacrifice some of the speed in Zerkatry because its speed is still pretty high. I think it's like base like
80 Shamu. Or
yeah, it's 80 or 90. Shamu, do you know off the top of your head?
Which Pokemon?
Zerkatry.
It's like 70, I think, actually.
Is it 70?
It's low.
I believe
it might
you.
Be 65.
No, it's not 65. It's actually 83. It's... You're wrong.
Well, I feel like crap now.
Oh, no. you should feel awful, Shamu. No, it's 83. Nah. It's 83.
See, I was wrong too.
Yeah, no, I thought it was something like that, like 83, because I know the 291 at level 100. But that, I mean, that makes sense because base 83 is to put you in that range where you can definitely sacrifice some of those speed EVs and put in some bulk into that Zerkatry. And I mean, his bulk isn't terrible either. Like, his bulk is like base 71 on both defenses and 83 HP. That's not terrible.
That's borderline subpar.
Yeah, like, I agree with that. I mean, yeah, I agree it's a little below average, but like, it's good for an... I guess I was ranking it like towards an Ultra Beast.
Yeah, towards an Ultra Beast, I mean, that's... It,
I mean, for a Pokemon that has a base 173 special attack, like, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I think the 83 speed could definitely help him out there.
Yeah.
I do want to talk more about copycats of these because I haven't seen any. But before we do that, let's click on over to Fort Wayne because I know a lot of Pokalonians were there. And I do want to talk about the top two teams there just because I think they're so interesting. And you probably know more about them than I do. Just because the top team was by Alex Underhill in the Masters division, and he ran Torkoal, and I don't see a Lilligant, so I'm confused. He probably did it for like weather disruption, in my opinion.
But... Honestly, it's funny because I've personally thought about just running Torkoal, just because it's a fire type, it's special,
and he gets some weather disruption at the same time.
He gets some weather disruption, correct? He is the slowest weather starter in. this gen, so that's also very, very
even
good.
Even slower than Gigalith.
Yep, even slower than Gigalith.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So, so right now he had a what we call a suicide Lucario, and basically this was just a hard Trick Room team.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get the team layout, specific moves, and stuff like that off of his team, but he's very secretive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard to. In a lot of cases, that's common in VGC.
Yeah, I mean, like, at least right now, I think. It used to be that way back in TCG as well. Like, about 5-10 years ago, it was really difficult to get, like, a deck list from anybody because they were keeping it very hidden. And now you have net decking happening, and you have, like, a lot of people, like, just grabbing deck lists offline and just playing those decks. And I wonder if we'll see something like that in the future with Pokemon, with a video game. But I hope so as well, just because it allows a little bit of transparency, especially with this meta. Honestly, this one is probably the hardest one to get into, in my opinion.
In a way, yeah.
In my opinion, I thought VGC 16 was easier to get into than I'm gonna remove the whole obtaining Pokemon barrier, but strategy wise. I think VGC 16 was easier to get into than VGC 17.
I can see that. Just because in a meta where a few things are dominating, it's very easy to, quote, net deck a team, you know, like Big Six. It's very easy.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't have one. We don't have that, essentially, anymore.
No. The closest thing is Fake PG, but even that... It's very hard to, like, net deck a fake PG.
I honestly think the best way to get into this one, and I'm just saying this because I know there are going to be people listening that aren't, like, into the video game or into VGC in that meta, and I think the best way to do it is just lose a bunch. Honestly, like go on Showdown, go on Battle Spot, just go lose a bunch. You'll learn a bunch of different strategies and what's possible, what different Pokemon do, because a lot of Pokemon play a lot of different roles, which is such a cool meta in that way. In that we haven't like really centralized it yet, and
no.
I don't even know if it's going to be able to be centralized. And as long as it doesn't get centralized before probably December or January, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I don't think it. This format, they very well designed it to where it cannot be centralized.
Yeah,
because if it was able to be centralized, it would have been centralized about 4 months ago.
Yeah, that's typically when you start to find something where it just kind of gets in its role, you know?
Right.
And then, you know, then people keep their sets hidden and their strategies hidden for Worlds, and then you get something at Worlds, you get a shakeup. And then after that, it gets really stagnant, typically. It's not stagnant now, though, because it's still going, and I love it.
Yep. And it's quite funny, because to get into this specific VGC format, people have been saying it time and time again. When you make a Pokemon team, choose your favorite Pokemon, build around it, and then that team generally won't work. Well,
here it will. It probably will. Yeah. Like I never thought I'd see Lucario be super relevant. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll even give you one better yet. Blissey. I made a Blissey team.
That's
just
right.
For Sigils, and honestly, between last year's season and this year's season, it's gotten me like 80 something CP.
That's not bad at all. Like I just find a lot of this stuff super interesting. I always forget that certain Pokemon are actually in this dex as well. That's what makes it worse.
Like Crobat.
Like Lucario, I totally forgot was in this dex. Didn't realize it. And I don't know. It's refreshing to see, like, there's always something different in Top Cut.
Yes.
Like always something different. And this included, like, with the Trick Room Mimikyu, with a Hariyama. I assume it was a Hariyama Mimikyu lead for some cases. And then... Lucario's probably better because of Follow Me.
No, actually. His most common lead was Lucario Mimikyu. And
it was
Final Gambit Lucario.
Okay, that's
Scarfed Final Gambit Lucario into a Trick Room Mimikyu. And then...
That makes so much sense.
Go into Drampa and proceed to just...
Shamu, this is your meta. Where'd Shamu go?
Oh,
this is your
alive.
Meta. This is your meta.
Totally your meta.
Did you just hear Final Gambit Lucario?
What?
Yeah, Final Gambit Lucario top cut in Fort Wayne.
What?
Yeah,
what?
You need to be paying attention, man.
I'm half out of it. I'm like...
Yeah, you gotta be paying attention. Final Gambit Lucario top cut Fort Wayne.
Yep.
Yeah, they choice scarf Final Gambit Lucario to like take out any threats to Mimikyu.
I should just run like six Final Gambit Mons and just win.
Actually, that would be hilarious. There was an awesome game I just remembered. There was, I forgot what it was, but it went to sudden death. And the rules of sudden death state, whoever is first to gain advantage wins.
Yeah.
Now, the definition of advantage is whoever has the most Pokemon by the end of the turn. So... if a crit happened in sudden death, it would have went from a 4-4 to a 1-1 Celesteela on Snorlax.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, two Pokemon died simultaneously. And then on the third set of Pokemon dying, if one got a crit, it would have been a sudden death Celesteela versus Snorlax.
Oh man.
Yeah, that was a wild game. Everybody like heard about that. That was wild.
All right, so Alex Underhill, like we said, was using Lucario, Mimikyu, Torkoal, Mudsdale, standard Mudsdale, Hariyama, which I think is pretty standard in Hariyama, and Drampa, which like you said, hard Trick Room. Drampa hits like a truck, man.
It does.
Drampa hits like a truck.
It's like a monster. Sorry for the noise.
That's a fun Trick Room team though, and Trick Room. I've seen hard Trick Room work way better this year than last year, which is it's really nice. So runner up was Abraham Brath, and he ran Murkrow, which is always fantastic.
Yeah, Murkrow.
Dragonite, which is actually really fun, like Assault Vest Dragonite with Sky Drop. Mixed too. Bulldoze, Sky Drop, Flamethrower, Ice Beam. That's actually a fun set.
Yeah, it is.
Metagross, standard Metagross. Tapu Bulu, Zerkatry, same Zerkatry, except with Hidden Power instead of Dazzling Gleam. And then we get Hariyama, which is almost standard Hariyama, except Bulldoze for more speed control funsies.
Yep.
Is Bulldoze single target or double target in VGC?
It's quad target.
It's triple target? Okay.
It hits your ally and the other two.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and
that
also,
makes sense.
Yeah, also I think it's the only move you can use that also triggers Milotic's competitive.
Oh, yeah, that would.
Because it hits the whole field.
Man, that'd be cool. That sounds like some fun gimmicks to play.
Yep.
Some fun gimmicks right there. All right, so let's see. So those are the metas that came up. And I'd like to point out that I don't think too much copycatting has been happening with these two metas. And that's what I want to talk about for like the next 10 minutes or so. If you guys would entertain me and let me do this.
Most definitely.
Just because I feel like copycatting typically happens in VGC. It happens a lot in VGC. And so by this I mean you just take a team and you try to run with it, and you see that as the new meta. And it, as we were saying here, this meta doesn't allow for that nonsense. Just because it's more difficult to build in, which as a result I think is a little bit more difficult to get into if you haven't been running with it the whole year. Though I would suggest, honestly, just kind of find what you like and stick with it. I find that's worked out for me so far. I found that Garchomp Braviary, and I've just been rolling with it, and I'm starting to get a hang of it.
So. Yeah, you just kind of find a little pair or Pokemon that you want to build around, start building mm-hmm. around it. Mm-hmm. Just start playing, and like Thatch said, you know, play, get your butt beat.
You're going to get your butt beat
a lot of butts, and then alter the team, change the team. Don't be afraid to use any Pokemon, but obviously keep what Pokemon you want to use. Mm-hmm. In mind, and eventually the team will be good.
Mm-hmm. No, it's been a really interesting gear in VGC. I want to talk about more about the format that's going to happen soon, because I think I have an idea of what's going to happen. We talked about it on the show yet on Monday, but we'll talk about it more as time progresses. Yeah, and we actually get it officially announced probably next month. They'll probably announce it officially. So.
Yeah, I'm super psyched about that format. Volcarona, mm-hmm. Tyranitar.
Mm-hmm. Volcarona without the genies is going to be kind of fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, if you can get away without, if there's a meta without the genies, I'll be super happy. And I think that's what they're going to try to go to.
Me too. But, if anything, maybe the legendary dogs, because they said something about roaming legendaries. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very interested to see what's going to be in there. And it's going to be a blast. But. Back to copycatting.
Yes,
I think the only thing I've seen is the Ninetales been used several times.
Yes, Ninetales has been used quite a bit. Mm-hmm. The Zerk, like people do I've try seen, to use.
Yeah, I feel like Zerk is really difficult to use.
Yes.
Without proper speed control.
Without proper speed control and just the proper team built around it, he's mm-hmm. one of those Pokemon that you can't just throw on a team and it'd be good. He's not mm-hmm. a consistent Pokemon like Coco or like Garchomp.
I think that's almost true of everything though in this meta. Like this meta, you really need to like have a good team concept.
Yes.
You can't, like, as much as it sucked back in 15, at least you had like six Pokemon you could start with, even though they ended up being like the best six. Right. I think more so in VGC 16, you had the big six in VGC 16. And that was actually like a really good place to start. Like, hey, let me get a hang of this meta. I'm going to win a couple, you know, and I'll be able to learn and build my own team. And unfortunately, I don't think that went very well.
So. No, this meta is definitely not friendly to getting a starting point.
Yeah,
you know, just a generic starting point and doing
that,
well.
That's the one thing I think really, I don't know, like I obviously playing this meta and I'm learning it, and I'm not as good as I would say you, but I don't know. I feel like as a barrier to entry, this meta is higher than previous ones, as I mentioned before. I don't want to like harp on and beat that dead horse.
No, right. And like I've even had tremendous trouble coming up with teams myself. Mm-hmm. Where I'll come up with a balanced team, like, you know, most well-rounded players will do. They'll come up with a balanced team that can kind of handle everything. Mm-hmm. But the Pokemon and the way the meta is,
I don't think that's even possible. Lacking.
Yeah, it's always lacking power. It's always lacking enough to.
You're gonna lack something. Just
right.
Regardless of what team you have, you're gonna lack something, and I think. To some extent right now, to get CP, it's kind of a roll of the dice to see what everybody else is playing that week.
Yes.
And you know, hopefully you chose correctly.
Yep.
And that's why I'm a big fan of just like playing something that you like get a strategy you're comfortable with and just keep going with that, because eventually it'll turn up you. That's my thought process. It's just going to eventually turn up you as long as you're playing well, you're making good predicts and stuff like that. Like, I think it's not very easy for any roster of six Pokemon to be ready for another roster of six Pokemon.
Correct.
I don't think you can. And then even then, it's a roll of the dice. Like, what six is he going to bring? You know, because he could bring these six, or he could bring these six. At least the easier matchups I'm finding are easier. You know what I mean? Stuff like Mimikyu Snorlax has become so popular. You know exactly how to handle it.
Right.
But there's just so much stuff to be prepped for. You have to be prepped for Rain. You have to be prepped for Mimikyu Snorlax. You have to be prepped for Trick Room. And the list just goes on. If you're not careful, I think Lilligant Torkoal did really well somewhere else.
In Birmingham?
In Bremen, I think.
Bremen, there you go.
Right? Is that it? I think in Bremen, it just did really well.
Yep.
And it's
rising.
Yeah, it was Bremen. Yeah. I couldn't believe it, because that was one of those like cheesy strats I saw at the beginning of the season. I'm like, but everybody's going to be playing that. You know, it's not going to be fun. And you do see it top cut like quite a bit throughout the year.
Little bit more towards the end, because in the beginning of the year, it was all Araquanid P2.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that everybody was saying the joke, if you're not running Araquanid P2, you're throwing.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, it went into Gigalith to counter that, and then they went into like Snorlax, and then they found the perfect team member with Snorlax being Mimikyu. Mm-hmm. So now Mimilax was a thing, and then now it's like Turbo Lax with Ninetales.
I see a lot of. I really want to try out this Final Gambit Lucario for funsies at some point.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I want to try that out, Shamu. We're trying it out.
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds like the patrons are getting Lucario this month.
We can run this in singles. Okay.
Like, no, we could try. Honestly, that sounds like that actually sounds like not terribly unfun. Like, but we can. I really want to try Scarf, Final Gambit, Lucario, and let's try both formats. Let's do it. This will be the first month that the patrons get like two teams. You know. And
get no choice in what we make.
Exactly.
For everything.
They get free stuff, though.
That's true.
It's Final Gambit Lucario. Here we come.
So that was that's pretty much what's been happening. Mm-hmm.
I'm happy that we hit all of that. There is a lot of stuff that's been going on, and we missed a lot of it.
Oh, we did.
The meta's evolved a lot in the past couple of months. The last two months, I'd say. Much more so than it has in the past. So I'm very excited to see this. It's time for me to jump into the season now that all the good people have gotten all their Premier Challenge championship points. So I'm a horrible person. But that's how we do it. I'm actually going to go hang out with Tanamon, and we're going to do that here in a couple of months. Or not a couple of months, in like 3 weeks.
Nice.
I think.
Yeah, so far in our Hoku community that I know of, mm-hmm. I could be wrong. So far, I think Moose is in the lead with the most CP, mm-hmm. with like over 100.
Ooh, then good for him.
Lone Ranger, I think he's close with somewhere around.
He has like 90-ish. 60 or 80. Did he get that many more?
I think he did well at an MSS. He got like third place at an MSS or something.
Sounds right.
Then I think it's Winmore with 50, because he just won undefeated in MSS.
If I remember correctly.
So far, as of this point, those three have the most points out of Puckle that I know of.
There we go. That sounds like a blast, though. I mean, my goal is this season to get on the board.
That's
my goal. I don't plan on. I don't think you can't go to League and get championship points.
Yes, you can. You can get one.
No, that's a play point.
No, it's a championship point.
No, I don't believe you.
Yes.
I thought it was a play point. I thought it was a play point, not a championship point. Well, that doesn't count.
Hey, that's getting on the board.
Yeah, no, I don't want that. I want to top cut something.
Well, you can do it.
We'll see how it goes. I don't even need to win. Like, I'll just top cut and be like, I'm done. I'm out. I don't need to hurt my ego anymore.
Well, hey, right. If I can top cut with Blissey, you can top cut with Graveyard Chomp.
Yeah, all right. So I'm going to – I guess we'll take a short break here, guys, and we'll come back at you with a team for VGC and analyze it and see if it's terrible. So we'll come right back at you. So we'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Hey there. Do you have mad amounts of style? Well, have I got the place for you. It's the fantastic Lumio City Boutique. Come in. Try on some of the most stylish things in the entire region of Kalos. You'll just love all of our fine clothing.
For Frau Salon, we're trying too hard.
And welcome back, guys. We are going to be going over a team. This is actually the team that I've been using for the YouTubes. If you haven't checked it out already, check out YouTube. I've been doing a Thatch Learns VGC because I'm trying to teach myself. And if I do it on camera, it makes me not make bad plays because I don't want to look bad. So...
And he did a very, very good job. I watched the video.
That's one of them. I've got two more geared up for this week. By the time this comes out, there'll be another one out, and there's going to be one on Friday. Right now, my release schedule for those are Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay.
And in between, we've got the Piddle matches, which are on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So 6 days a week, you get content out of the Puckle YouTube. So check it out if you haven't already. It's a really good time. So, let's get into this team. This is a team I mentioned before. I was really into the Braviary Garchomp core. I found somebody on Trainer Tower and used it on the Battle Spot ladder, and he had some good success with it. So I took some of his spreads and I fiddled with them a little bit. I think I kept his spreads, but I fiddled with the team, the supporting Mons, because I felt like a lot of it was almost hyper offense for VGC, which I am not a fan of because this is a much slower meta than it was before. Even in like the past 2 years, this is a much slower meta. So, the Garchomp is Choice Scarf, which I really am a fan of with Braviary. You get Choice Scarf. You only need to run 212 speed because you'll outspeed most things then, which is really nice. You outspeed Faramosa and everything. You run Rock Slide, Earthquake. Poison Jab is what I chose. I know some people run Fire Fang. But I really like the Poison Jab because you can pick up the Lele knockout real easy sometimes.
Yeah, the Fire Fang is honestly for the Kartana, but Kartana has seen less usage, so
I mean I'm a fan of Kartana, but I don't know. Personally, if I run Kartana, I'm gonna run it with a Focus Sash anyway. So
well, you have a chance to burn.
Yeah, I guess. At the same time, I'm gonna run Poison Jab. I like picking up the KO on the Lele more often than not.
Definitely. The meta has shifted away from Kartana.
And I like Dragon Claw because you can usually pick up a KO on an opposing Garchomp. You can usually do that. And so Braviary is another choice, is the second Pokemon I brought there. Of course, you guys are more than welcome to like rip this apart, obviously. I really like running the Flynium Z because sometimes it needs that extra power, but it's Defiant, which is really nice. It's one of the very few Defiant Pokemon in this meta because we don't have Bisharp.
It's the only one.
It might be the only one, yeah. It's really nice because not a lot of people realize it runs Defiant and and Intimidate's so prominent. Because everything's physical in this meta almost, except for a few things.
It's not uncommon to see double Intimidators this meta, which I advise against.
Yes, I really like this Braviary though, because you'll see people bring in like Arcanine and you get the boost, and that's enough to KO almost anything with a Brave Bird or a Supersonic Sky Strike.
And
on top of that, I'm running Protect, Brave Bird, Tailwind, just in case you need that, in case you need to use Braviary as utility. And superpower. The Tailwind I found is just kind of something I use if I need it. Like if I'm just like, okay, we're in a scenario where Braviary won't get knocked out this turn. He has some fast stuff in the back. Let's click Tailwind, get three turns of just like blasting forward, hyper offense, you know. Because flying's also still like even in the OU meta, we made that mention that flying is still a really good type. It is a phenomenal like offensive typing right now because very few things resist it other than like Celesteela.
Right. That's very much so correct. Like even in past generations, flying was a pretty good offensive type. It's just the moves weren't good. And the Pokemon who used the moves that were good weren't good.
Yeah. Outside of like Talonflame.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy to see Braviary get some like good use out of it. I opted to go Marowak. The team originally had Arcanine. I really wanted to go Marowak because I was finding the team had a lot of problems with Tapu Koko. More so just Braviary being, you know, hit by a Tapu Koko right away, you know, and you didn't have too many options for that. And
You might want to go Togedemaru.
I thought about Togedemaru.
Togedemaru would be very good and replace the Koko.
I didn't want to replace the Koko because that's exactly what I thought. But I'm such a fan of Koko.
Are you? Okay. Because Togedemaru is super degenerate this generation, just because of it outspeeds Arcanine. Like, honestly, you can beat an Arcanine one-on-one with
that's interesting.
Togedemaru. I've done it many times.
That's interesting. Do you run, what do you run as the item?
You can literally run no item, and it's fine. But
I mean, I would think, Electrium Z, honestly.
Nah, you would do... The general is Focus Sash or Air Balloons.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But, honestly, half the time, if you play it right, you don't really need to use the item. Mm-hmm. Just because of the fake out pressure it provides, the fact that it's faster than both Lele and Arcanine, if you can get Arcanine into using an extreme speed or a protect, you can just encore it and then keep zing zapping whatever and then keep encoring.
That's not bad. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I'll consider that. I'll put that in the back of my mind. I personally like the Marowak. I wanted another ground type move.
Yep.
Outside of Garchomp, so it filled that role. And the Shadow Bone hit hard. The Flare Blitz is nice because we're replacing Arcanine with the Marowak.
Yes.
The Flare Blitz was nice to have. So, I don't know. I like that. I lost the Intimidate, but I'm okay with losing the Intimidate.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love Marowak.
It's making a resurgence. We were talking about this earlier. It's definitely making a comeback right now.
Definitely. I've used Marowak from the beginning.
Everybody used Marowak at the beginning, let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, I used it from the beginning, almost nonstop.
Yeah.
And I love it thoroughly. Its speed tier is very wonky, and that's its biggest weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's limited. It's almost limited to only one item for it to be.
It has to be the thick clump. Yeah.
So, those are its weaknesses, but as far as its ghost fire typing is almost ideal. For this format, and the fact that it has Lightning Rod makes it even almost the perfect Pokemon to have on a team. And it hits super hard. It does 3/4 to most Mux with Flare Blitz. It does 3/4 to most Snorlaxes with Flare Blitz, which is very, very key. Shadow Bone will two-shot almost anything in the meta. Even Arcanine's coming in, I think Shadow Bone almost two-shots it. Marowak is a very strong Pokemon, but he's in a way similar to Xurkitree's, where you kind of, to use him effectively, the team needs to be not centered around him, but needs to be able to control speed and control turn order, unless you're just literally using him as a Togedemaru, so to speak.
Yeah, that's exactly why I'm doing it, so... all right, so Tapu Koko's there. Super standard Tapu Koko. Life Orb, Full Switch, Thunderbolt, Dazzling Gleam. That's your VGC Tapu Koko right there.
Yeah. the most consistent Pokemon in this meta.
Yeah, now it just needs 5 friends. Yes. So, I'm running Kartana just because I really like Kartana in this meta. If I'm going to run an Ultra Beast in this meta, I want it to be Kartana. I don't like the slow play for Celesteela in the meta. I think Kartana handles a lot of things. Feeny is still prominent, so Kartana handles that really well. It handles Snorlax really well, and it handles most of the Tapus very well. So I'm a huge fan of Kartana.
Kartana is super strong. It's super good. So the problem with Pokemon in this meta, especially Ultra Beasts, in particular, that are very strong in this meta, example Kartana. A lot of the Pokemon that Kartana usually takes care of can be ebbed to live hits and then Hidden Power Fire. Example, Bulu. Most Bulus are now carrying Hidden Power Fire, and they can live Smart Strike from Kartana. So that, my team, it was funny, I asked for help in the Discord chat. with my team, and someone realized, they're like, you have three flamethrower mons and a hidden power fire on your Bulu. And I'm like, oh, I do. And that's just because Cartana is so good that you want to have a lot of fire. Mm-hmm. And you can fit
just steel in general, I think. Mod. I feel like having a steel type in general in this meta is very nice.
Yes.
Just because you have Tapus running everywhere, right? So there's a bunch of fairy types. So that's why Metagross became prominent recently. I say recently, but in like the past like 5 months. And it's why Cartana's always been there. Celesteela's been there. Just because these steel types are, I mean, it's nice to have steel in this meta.
Yeah, you can take
a Moonblast.
Correct. It's really nice too, because I don't know if you guys knew this, but I said Metamance earlier, and the combo is Metagross alongside Salamence, and Salamence uses Bulldoze.
Yeah.
And Metagross has Weakness Policy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the little combo that people's been doing.
It's not bad at all. I mean, I like running Focus Sash and Cartana just because of things like Hidden Power Fire Bulu.
Yes.
You think it'll be an Oko, but it's not. And I mean, I think Focus Sash should be run on almost every team on something. Just because Z moves, honestly. Like, Z moves themselves. Just because they exist, it gives you a surprise survival. And that can really, like, that extra move that your opponent didn't expect, it could be enough just to take advantage and pivot out of a potentially bad situation.
Yep. And even though that this is a. Not the common Cartana nowadays. I feel that this is one of the best, if not the best, versions of a Cartana, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I don't see what else you would do that would take advantage of Cartana more.
The other one that I see a lot of people do, there's two other sets. It's one, you do Substitute.
I've seen the subset, yeah.
Yeah, with Z, Grass, Grassium Z.
Oh, with Bloom Doom?
Or you do Swords Dance with All Out Pummeling.
Yeah, I've seen All Out Pummeling because that'll take. I think that actually takes on Celesteela.
It does quite a bit to Celesteela, but a plus one. So meaning that you Swords Dance, someone switches in Arcanine on a plus one Cartana with Fight EMZ will take out Arcanine.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. And then the final member here is Tapu Lele, which you guys talked me out of the mind plate that I had because I didn't think it was a good item. Personally, I just was like, oh, let's slap a item on it because I can't run Life Orb, and I didn't want to run Psyche MZ just because I bring Braviary to almost every matchup. But you talked me into it. I'll run Psyche MZ in the terrain. I'm a big fan. The Psychic Moonblast. I like running Thunderbolt just so you can't get completely walled out by Celesteela.
Yeah, it is a very good surprise factor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially when Gyarados was,
Gyarados too, shifting in.
It's a very good surprise. I've lost a lot of games to the surprise Tapu Lele Thunderbolt onto the Gyarados. Mm-hmm. And then also, the regionals coming up. I don't know when this is going to be.
Oh, this will be posted on Thursday, so it's gonna be before Connecticut.
Okay, so right before Connecticut.
That way we're not out of we're not out of sync on the meta.
Yeah. What's gonna happen? I feel from my sources, it's gonna be a lot of sun and rain. So Thunderbolt is pretty nice in that kind of a situation.
Yeah, I agree. I hit it off on a I believe I hit it off on a Pelipper recently, which felt really good. I'm not gonna lie. It felt really good. So, yeah, I mean, that's the team I've been running with. I think it's going to be – I mean, it's obviously going to go through a lot more tweaks, and we'll see where it goes from there. Next week on the YouTubes, though, I plan on trying out a different team, just a different format. Maybe I'll try out that Metagross Salamence you were talking about and see if I can make it go anywhere.
It's pretty fun because Salamence has Clear Body, so you don't lower its speed, but you lower everybody else's speed.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll try it out. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm having a good time though learning the meta, and I hope other people are learning from the videos as well, and hopefully they learned something today or at least were entertained by some of the things. Obviously, if you guys have any comments on these teams, feel free to send them to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Those have just subject line it like Battlecast or something works for me. If you want a team, if you have a team that you'd like us to take a look at on the show as well, you can do the same thing at PucklePodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Or even if you want us to go in depth on any of the Pokemon that we are mentioning more, like as far as specific strategies go, email us. You know, we'll go in depth on anything that you want. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Talk to us.
Battlecast is for.
Yeah, Battlecast is for all the metas, for funsies. And so if you have anything you want to go into, let us know. This is a shorter show than we've done in the past, but I think it was a good one, especially to get back up on the horse because Battlecast is still evolving. So we're still trying to figure out where to go with it. So let's see. Yeah, if you have any comments or questions, send it to PucklePodcast@gmail.com. And if you would like to keep up with us on social media, check us out at Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, and Tumblr. You can find all those on our website, PucklePodcast.com. And while you're there, also check out our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. We do a lot of viewer battles. I know Scrawn is playing a lot of different metas there. Shamu's doing Shamu things there.
Yeah, kind of all over the place at the moment.
Yeah, Jushira is playing TCG on there. I'm doing viewer battles, VGC, OU, everything. It's a lot of fun. So that's an active place right now. This aforementioned YouTube channel has a lot of content. And right now it's almost daily. It's like 6 videos a week. So check that out, youtube.com/user/PucklePodcast. And if you haven't already and you'd like to help support the show in any way, you can do so monetarily or just by hanging out with us at Discord. So our Discord invite link is down in the description below, or not in the description, it's in the show notes. Check that out. And this is the wrong format, the wrong medium. And
it's okay, it's all the same.
Yeah, but if you would like to support the show monetarily and help us out fiscally so we could do some more awesome things, you could do so by going to patreon.com/PucklePodcast, where you get rewarded for helping us out. You get access to an exclusive Patreon channel in our Discord server. You get awesome Pokemon every week, like we were talking about the Lucario. Or not every week, every month. Oh my gosh, I almost made too many promises. You get access to the videos a day early. And on top of that, that's the only Discord channel I keep open personally, outside of like a couple of the ones we use for like organizing the community and stuff like that. So definitely check that out. I know both Shamu and Ryusei are running weekly tournaments now as well, which are going to be a blast. I'm super excited to see the OU one start up this week. By the time this is released, it would have already come out, but it's fine. Don't listen to me. Yeah. And
weekly, and they start at what, 7 p.m. Eastern?
Maybe it's a 7:30, something like that.
Yeah, it's a flexible time range.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. So,
yep, I'm very excited. You should be streaming at the same time. That'd be a lot of fun, honestly.
Well, yep. I probably am, but thing is, depending, because what's gonna happen tomorrow? I'm gonna try to finish up the shiny hunt tomorrow beforehand.
Oh, okay.
But it might stretch over, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
Well, I was just saying you could like stream the battles. You know.
Yeah,
I could. I can try still. It's just.
Yeah,
I gotta see how it's all gonna work.
Yeah, no problem. All right, and so
that's gonna happen every week. It'll be some type of Smogon singles format. Also, we have the Friday weekly Puckle tournaments of VGC best of three rounds, top four.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this now, you can still sign up for the Puckle Mutt tournament, the mixed ultimate tier tournament, where you guys can use Pokemon from each tier, and it's going to be singles best of one in Puckle, and you can find all of that information at our Discord and on our website. So it's and in the show notes. It's like everywhere. It's super easy for you to find. It's going to be a blast. That tournament's going to be a lot of fun. The rules are really, really cool. So I think that's it for the show this week, though, guys. Thank you both for being here on a Monday evening. So we got to talk some Pokemon. So I guess I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm Shamu.
And I'm Ryusei.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
It's closing time in Lavender Town. Time to say our goodbyes. It's closing time. I'll catch you on the flip side.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.